listening to Jazz Today on CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, online at cjsw.com. I'm your host and programmer, Tim Ma. This program is dedicated to playing music from artists on today's jazz scene, primarily focused on new and recent releases. Drummer Ernesto Cervini joined me via phone earlier this month to chat about his new album, A Canadian Songbook, with his band called Turboprop. You will hear that talk in about 30 minutes. The song you just heard was called Envoy, off the 2023 album called Level Up, by Vancouver-based pianist, keyboardist, and composer Mary Anchetta and her quartet. You can hear the Mary Anchetta Quartet perform live this spring, including Saskatoon, on April 26th, Montreal on May 7th, Toronto on May 8th, and Ottawa on May 10th. You can also hear the Mary Anchetta Quartet perform in Calgary on June 28th at the Ironwood Stage during the Calgary Summer Jazz Festival. A year ago, I met Mary Anchetta as a member of Andrea Superstein's band. Andrea is a vocalist, songwriter, and educator, originally from Montreal, who lives in Vancouver. Her new album is called Oh Mother, which was released in February. The Oh Mother Project is a celebration of motherhood through music and video. Up next is one of the songs that Andrea and her band performed in Calgary. It's called Everywhere.
Calling out your name, you know that I'm falling and I don't know what to say.
Say.
Speak a little louder, even shout. You know that I'm proud and I can't get the words out. I wanna be with you everywhere. electric skies turn to pastel nights, driving home, going slow. Do I go where I don't know? I could wander through the clouds. If I was free, if I was free, if I was free.
listening to Jazz Today on CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary and online at cjsw.com. The last set featured three vocalists, all with brand new albums, beginning with Vancouver's Andrea Superstein. You heard her version of Everywhere off the album Oh Mother. Then you heard Calgary's Amy Jo Benoit with Free off the album Horns of Hope. And last, you heard Toronto native, New York-based Carrie Vanderclute with Totem, the lead single of her new album called Window. Also from the Greater Toronto Area is vocalist and composer Sarah Jerram. Earlier this month, she released a new album called Magpie, a suite of music for orchestra and four voices. Let's have a listen to The Road by Sarah Jerram.
She opens up the gate and walks to the road. The dawn is cloudy and there's mist on the hills. There's no one out there, just herself and into the stillness she goes. And so she runs to where the land meets the sea. Monochrome rollers surging up to where she furling feathers and a sweep of the wings. Glossy black flash of white tail
the ways in which it determines my life, permeates everything. It's in the air, lives next door to me in stares of neighbors, meets me each day in the office. Its music comes out the radio, drives beside me in my car, strolls along with me down supermarket aisles. It's on television and in the streets, even when my walk is casual, undefined. Overhead, flashing lights, I find it in my mouth. When I would speak of other things.
Listening to Jazz Today on CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary and online at cjsw.com. I'm your host and programmer, Tim Ma. The last set featured two artists based in the Greater Toronto Area, beginning with vocalist and composer Sarah Jerram. You heard The Road, the lead single of her album called Magpie. Then you heard saxophone player and composer Allison Au with The Ism of her latest album called Migrations, featuring Lila Bialy on voice. Ernesto Cervini is a Toronto-based drummer, composer, bandleader, and active side musician. He also runs Orange Grove Publicity, which specializes in jazz music. At the beginning of this month, he joined me via phone to chat about his new album, A Canadian Songbook, with his band, Turboprop. Up next is Ernesto Cervini's Turboprop, with their version of the Allison Au song called Oriole, from the album A Canadian Songbook. Then you will hear my chat with Ernesto Cervini.
Thank you.
Ernesto. Thank you for joining me today to chat about your new album called A Canadian Songbook.
My pleasure.
For the benefit of listeners who aren't familiar with you and your work, can you start by talking about your background in music and some of your musical influences?
I grew up in Toronto. I live in Toronto. You know, I started studying classical piano when I was very young. I studied classical clarinet as well, and I started doing jazz drums. So I kind of did all three instruments concurrently through to the end of high school. I always kind of knew I wanted to be a jazz drummer. I don't know. I always felt the most comfortable at that instrument. And it was just kind of, for me, it was obvious that that's where I was going to go. So I went to the University of Toronto, and I did my undergraduate studies there. And then I moved to New York City, and I did my master's at the Manhattan School of Music. And I stayed in New York for 4 years, 2 years doing school, and then 2 years just hanging out and soaking it all in. And then I moved back to Toronto in 2007, and I've been here ever since. You know, I lead a number of my own groups. It started with the Ernesto Cervini Quartet, and that group expanded into Turboprop, which is the band that just released the new album. I also am in some other groups that I co-lead, like Toontown and Myriad 3. You know, I like to keep myself busy. If I don't have lots of things on the go, I get bored, but I also kind of get sad. So I know myself, and I know that I'm at my best when I have a lot of things on the go. And in terms of influences, I mean, I've listened to a lot of music similar to a lot of jazz musicians nowadays. I have a pretty wide range of influences. I mean, I grew up studying classical music, so there's definitely that. And, you know, Turboprop recorded a Debussy piece on our first album. And there's actually a couple more classical pieces that I'd love to do. I just have to find the right moment and the right inspiration and the right way to do it. And then, you know, in terms of jazz, I started listening to, it was actually kind of piano players who really grabbed my attention when I was younger. I remember falling in love with Oscar Peterson and Bill Evans. And those are two who, you know, I still love listening to, especially Bill. Bill Evans knocks me out constantly. Nowadays, I still listen to lots of jazz. I listen to lots of, like, music that I grew up with. So I find myself, you know, listening to, like, 90s rock and hip-hop and whatever else. I end up listening to a lot of music from the 90s, and I guess the 80s, too, to be honest. In terms of musical influences, it's really pretty wide range.
Who are some of your favorite drummers on the scene today?
Bill Stewart is definitely one of my favorites. I love the way Bill plays. I love the way his beat just has this buoyancy and this bounce to it, and it's so great. There's also another drummer named Matt Wilson. I have an older sister named Amy Cervini, who's a jazz vocalist, and she went to New England Conservatory to study jazz. Actually, at the time, she got into New England for jazz saxophone. And I remember her buying me this Matt Wilson album for Christmas one year. And I was so excited because, like, oh, my sister from Boston, and she bought me this cool album, and I've never heard of these people. And it was like Dewey Redmond's on it, and it's great, really great album. And since then, like, I've met Matt Wilson's lovely human being. I went for a lesson at his place. And I mean, he's also a really active band leader, which is something that as a drummer, it's not a foregone conclusion that a drummer is going to be a band leader, right? It's kind of a little more rare. So I always found it very inspiring to see what he's up to. He always has a bunch of things on the go, and he has a bunch of different groups. And he also brings a lot of joy and lightness to the music. I mean, that's what it's all about, I think. Those two for sure. And then I love Eric Harlan. Eric knocks me out. And Marcus Gilmore and Mark Juliana. I could probably list off 10 or 12, but I would say those ones for sure. There's so many great musicians.
You mentioned that you lived in New York for 4 years. Was it in New York when you met artists such as Joel Fromm and Neer Felder?
Yes, absolutely. So the first time I met Joel, I got to play with him in a group that my sister used to be in called Monday Off. It was like a four-part vocal group. when I first moved to New York, I played a bunch of gigs with them. We did an album, and he came and recorded on the album. And then I hired him to do the CD release for my first quartet album, which is entitled Here. And it features Mike Murley on the saxophone, but I couldn't afford to fly Mike out to New York. Plus, there's visa stuff and whatever. So I ended up just getting an all New York-based group to play my CD release at a club called Cornelia Street in New York. And then it wasn't until I actually moved back to Toronto and I was listening to, you know, I had used a mini disc recorder to record my CD release show. And I was listening to it. And I remember calling Amy and being like, man, Joel sounds so good on this stuff. I would love to have him be on my next album. And she said, just call him and ask him. I'm sure he'd do it. And he was willing to do it. So he came down and then he recorded on my second quartet album. And then, I mean, he's been on, you know, I don't know how many albums we've done now together, but it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. And then Nierfelder and even Dan Loomis, I met them just through being a musician in Brooklyn. You know, after I finished at the Manhattan School, I moved to Brooklyn for 2 years and we would just play sessions. You know, I was playing sessions like 3, 4, 5 times a week, just getting together with people and making music and meeting tons of great young musicians that were like around my age. Like I was in my mid 20s, you know, early to mid 20s, and just meeting all these great musicians who had moved to New York to do the thing. The first time I played with Nier, I was just like, oh, he's something special. There's something going on there that's different. So it's no surprise to me that he's had the success that he's had. When he came to Toronto to record with my band Tetrahedron, we hadn't played together in, oh, I don't know, it had been like 10 years. We had such a good relationship before that, then when I reached out to him, he was like, oh man, it's great to hear from you. Yeah, I'd love to do that. You know, and then it was great and it was so much fun. So, you know, I still have a number of friends that are in New York that are still there and are doing their thing. And so the number is kind of dwindling of who is still actually in New York City. But it's amazing to see all these people that I went to school with or that I just was making music with in the scene who have now spread definitely all across the U.S., but even across the globe and are just making great music everywhere. It's really inspiring and exciting to see the success that everyone's having.
Your new album with your band Turboprop is called A Canadian Songbook, the fourth album as a group. What was your inspiration behind this album?
I think the idea behind the album kind of came organically. I decided it would be really fun to do some covers of music that was written by some of my peers. So rather than, you know, just doing music by me, I always invite everyone in Turboprop to write music for the band, always. If you want to write a song for the band, go for it. We'll play it. We'll record it. Because it's nice to get other voices in. Because, you know, my stuff starts to, at least to me, it all starts to sound the same after a while. So it's nice to get other people's, you know, influences and approaches. But then I thought, wouldn't it be cool to play some songs that are written by some of my friends who are not in the band, but are just great musicians who live in the city or in the country. There's a song by Allison Au that I really liked called Oriole. So I asked her if we could do that. She said, yes, absolutely. And then there was a song by a pianist named James Hill, who has a great band called Local Talent that I did publicity for a number of years ago. And I fell in love with one of the songs on his album. So I asked him if we could play that. And he said, absolutely. I always love covering pop songs. It's always been something that I've really enjoyed to do. I think I always thought that was cool. I discovered Radiohead through Brad Meldow. Like it wasn't the other way around. I knew who Brad was and I heard his stuff and I was like, huh, this Radiohead band seems kind of neat. And then I got really into them. But it was because of his covers that I really got into them. So I've always been fascinated with people covering, you know, non-jazz music, and it doesn't have to be pop songs, but I've done, you know, a decent amount of that on past albums. And I came up with this idea about arranging Clumsy by Our Lady Peace. And I was just driving one day and the arrangement kind of came to me. And so I did it. And then I think once I had those three, I was like, you know what I could do here? I could like make this a focus thing and make it a focus on Canadian music. I'm a very, very proud Canadian. I'm sure because of the fact that I did move away. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, 4 years is not very long. But there were four very important years in my life and in my growth. And I owe a lot to the New York scene and to everything that I got being in New York and being in that incredible gathering point for young jazz musicians from around the world. Every minute that I was there, it was very clear that I was Canadian. I just wore it on my sleeve constantly. So I've always been a very proud Canadian. And I think as I get older, I'm always interested in different ways that I can pay tribute to the things that have helped shape me. And so, you know, being Canadian is a big one. It came very natural to me to do an album kind of paying tribute to all the wonderful composers in this country.
In October 2022, I had the opportunity to hear you and the band perform some of the songs in Calgary at Buckingham Palace. Can you talk about what performing these songs live in front of audiences is important for you before going into the recording studio?
That's a great question. So the first time I ever made an album, we got together, had a couple rehearsals, we went and recorded this album. And then after we made the album, we got some funding to do a tour. So we did a Cross Canada tour. And I remember after that tour thinking, well, this is way better than what's on the album. Because now we've played it, you know, 10 times over the course of 2 weeks or whatever it is. And you reach a different level of understanding of the music you're playing. So for me, a lot of it is about shaping the music. And especially as a drummer, like my big role beyond just keeping time and, you know, outlining the form is also just to shape the whole composition from beginning to end, dynamically, but also in terms of density and in terms of energy. And so I find that when I play something, I don't really know where the climax of the piece is supposed to be yet. Because I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of playing it and marking the tops of each form and whatever else and just trying to figure it out. But the more you play something, the more you kind of figure out what the general arc of the song should be. And you also see what people respond to. And I also find that I get different ideas while I'm playing the music. We'll be playing something and I'll be listening and I'm like, oh, you know what? That would be cooler if, you know, like, for example, like, I think that melody would be cooler on the tenor instead of the alto. So maybe I'll change that. And like, these are things that when I'm sitting at a piano or when I'm sitting at my computer putting this stuff into Sibelius, there's no way I'm going to know how I'll react to it once I'm in the moment and how other people will react to it and what works. And you know, there might be something that I think, oh, that's going to sound wicked with William playing it. And then when I hear it, I'm like, hey, you know what? I think it would sound better with Joel playing it. But it's not until I hear it that I know. And so, and also seeing how the other band members respond to this. I mean, the nice thing about Turboprop is because there hasn't been any changes, when I'm writing these compositions or these arrangements, I can think specifically of these people. So I can write, if I'm writing a melody for the alto, I'm not writing a melody for the alto, I'm writing it for Tara. I'm picturing her playing it, I'm hearing her sound creating this melody. So I just think, you know, being able to go on the road and play this music for people, it really informs what you want to do and it makes the recording process so much easier because you get into the recording studio and you're like, okay, let's do a couple takes. I don't think we did more than, if we even did three of anything, I think we just did like the most was like two. Because of that, you know, if everyone executes their parts correctly and you've already done all of the shaping and all in on the road, then really it's just like, okay, let's have a couple options for solos and then let's move on. So it just makes the recording process a lot easier and more natural and more enjoyable, which I think will then lead to a much more enjoyable execution. Because everyone's actually having fun, you know. I get really frustrated with the, like, coming up with the arrangement in the studio it's just wasteful in terms of like time and money. If we're on tour, we shape this stuff so well that by the time we get to the studio, you're just like, you're just banging the stuff out. And it's, again, it's nice and relaxed. And hopefully that comes across. I've had people, you know, listen to Turboprop and they're like, it's so obvious how much fun you are all having. And like, that's amazing that you could hear that from the, like on stage, I would expect it. Cause you can also see us smiling at each other and there's a lot of love in that band, but it's amazing that you can hear it on a recording.
Can you talk about the wonderful musicians who are in the band Turboprop?
So Turboprop is a sextet. So Tara Davidson plays alto saxophone in the band. Tara and I have actually been playing music together since I was 12 years old. We met in a youth band together. So we started playing together in that, and I have video of us playing together when I was, I mean, I might have been like 13. She's a couple years older than me, so she's like this shy teenager. She sounds great, you know? She sounds like Paul Desmond. She has this beautiful alto sound. And then we both went to the University of Toronto, so we've been playing together off and on since then, really. We played together at U of T, and then when I moved to New York, she invited me to be in her band. So I used to come back from New York to play gigs with her band, and I recorded a couple, was it only one album with her, maybe, in her group? And then I asked her to join Turboprop whenever it started. I thought it would be wonderful to get her beside Joel. She's a very melodic approach to everything, but then she can also be so fiery. She can stand next to Joel, which not every saxophone player could do. And then, as I mentioned, Joel and I have been playing forever together for about 15 years now. And, you know, he's just a master musician. And then William Karn, our trombone player, he and I started playing together just in the scene in Toronto, like basically when I moved back. I'm not sure we played much before I moved to New York. He's such an incredible trombonist. So when I thought about, you know, what instrumentation I wanted, and I loved the idea of the two saxophones with the trombone, that's the horn section, and then Adrian Ferrugia on piano. Adrian has been on every single one of my albums that has had piano. Adrian and I started playing again just, I think, either right at the end of when I was at U of T or shortly thereafter. I just, through word of mouth, I heard about him, and I remember immediately really identifying with the way he approaches music. He has, again, such a fiery, emotional approach, and that's really something I always look for. I want to be on stage with people who are feeling the music, and Adrian brought that. I fell in love with his piano playing immediately. That's Adrian, and then Dan Loomis on bass, who, as I said, I met living in Brooklyn. He's one of those people that you meet where, like, as soon as I met him, I was like, oh, I like this guy a lot. I mean, we've been playing together for like probably 18 years, and we've lived in the same city for two of them. So when you hear the joy on the recordings or you see it in person, it's all very real. Like, we love to play together. And I feel so lucky to have a group like that. I mean, that's all I would ever want, is to have a band that loves being a band.
Where can listeners find you on social media? And also, where can they find your music?
Well, one of the good things about having a unique name is I'm fairly easy to find. If you search Ernesto Cervini on anywhere, you'll find me. I'm the only one. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm even on TikTok. You can find the music on all the streaming sites. You can also, if you'd like to purchase a copy, you can get it from my website, ErnestoCervini.com, and there's free worldwide shipping. Or you can also get it on Bandcamp. And for the new album, Canadian Songbook, we made CDs. We also made vinyl, which is really exciting. It's the first time I've done vinyl for one of my albums, and it looks beautiful and sounds great. And then we made socks.
Last question. This program plays music from artists on today's jazz scene. Can you provide some recommendations of Canadian artists that listeners can check out?
There's a singer named Nikki Shrira, who lives in Toronto now, but she was born in London, England, but grew up in South Africa. I met her when she lived in New York, but then she moved to Toronto and she released this beautiful album called Nowhere Girl. It's a really beautiful vocal jazz album. Also, I mean, for sure, you know, I would highly recommend all of my bandmates in Turboprop. If you're talking Canadian specifically, then Tara and William have a wonderful group called the Carden Davidson Nine. And I think every one of their albums has been nominated for a Juno. William has his own album called Choices, which came out a couple of years ago, which is really fantastic. I just discovered a drummer from Montreal named Will Renier. He has a new album called Traces that I really loved. Peripheral Vision is another great band.
You're listening to Jazz Today on CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary and online at cjsw.com. I'm your host and programmer, Tim Ma. That was my talk with drummer, composer, bandleader Ernesto Cervini. Before the talk, you heard a song called Oriole from the album A Canadian Songbook by Ernesto Cervini's Turboprop. Let's have a listen to more music from this album. Up next is a song called Clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Jazz Today on CJSW 90.9 FM in Calgary and online at cjsw.com. The last set featured two more songs from an album called A Canadian Songbook from Ernesto Cervini's Turboprop. The songs you heard were Clumsy, their cover of a song by the Canadian rock group Our Lady Peace. That was followed by The Inertia of Complacency, written by William Carn. Thanks again to Ernesto Cervini for joining me via phone earlier this month and being generous with his time. To end this week's episode, you will hear two of Ernesto's recommendations. First, you will hear The Mask Has Become the Face by Peripheral Vision, off their album called We've Got Nothing. Then you will hear Entre les Lignes, off the album Traces, by drummer Will Renier. Thanks for listening. Thank you.